Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything different?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the No Laying Up Podcast. We have a bit of a shorter episode for you today. Myself, Neil, and DJ went out to the Callaway ad shoot in Carlsbad this past week and had a chance to sit down with some of the younger players on the Callaway staff. And because this is a shorter episode, we're actually bringing this to you commercial-free. There'll be no read on this podcast. And we sat down. This episode's going to be with Ollie Schneiderjans. We had about 30 minutes to spend with him in between some of the ad shooting he was doing and photographs and video and all that stuff. He was nice enough to grab a mic and chat with us for a little while. If you'll remember, Ollie was on the podcast several years ago. We talked a bit about his background. I'm hesitant to tell you to go back to those episodes because we didn't even have microphones back then. But if you want more on his background, that episode is there in the archives. We kind of just roll right into it and talk to him about various other topics. Before we do get going, I do guys want to point out that we have a few of the No Laying Up holiday goodie bags that are still remaining. I believe it's called Goodie Box, actually. And within these boxes, there's a beanie, stainless steel tumbler, there's some NLU Strideline socks, and then there's a sleeve of the Chrome Soft NLU logo Truvis balls. These are no longer available to buy by the dozen. We sold those out in about a day. There's a bag of 100 tees. There's No Laying Up stickers. There's a towel. This is a perfect holiday gift. Just send this link to somebody and have them get this for you for Christmas. There's no point in arranging the surprise in that regard. And also, we've got pullovers, belts, sweatshirts. They're all going fast. We are fully stocked on hats, and we also have the Script tour visors back in stock for the first time in a long, long time. So swing by store.nolayingup.com and check out all of that. Without any further delay, we are going to roll right into it here with Ollie Schneiderjans, and thank you for tuning in. We got a lot of good stuff coming the rest of this month, a couple other interviews already done in the hopper, one more being recorded this week, and some good year-end wrap stuff. So thanks for tuning in, and enjoy. What have you learned in the last 3 years since we last spoke to you? What have you learned out on the PGA Tour? What's changed?
I've gone through a lot of things in my game and kind of structuring my team and, just learning all the golf courses and trying to get better and prepare myself better, for a bigger year next year. I was not the year I wanted last year. I had higher expectations, and next year I'm going to make some changes, and I'm looking forward to hopefully doing better. At this point now, I've played most of these courses 3 times, which is nice, and I love the West Coast swing, so I'm looking to get off to a hot start there.
What are you looking to change? What didn't go well in this past year that you want to mix up?
Really, this past year was mainly tee to green. I think I've made a lot of improvement with my putting. That's one thing I've learned on tour, a lot about green reading and a lot about structuring how I go about my business on the putting green. So that's improved. But from tee to green, I was really sloppy, kind of in a search mode. Been doing it a lot on my own for a while, and I'm going to start kind of working with somebody and kind of getting a little more organized with that part of my game.
When you talk about like building your team as a young pro, people say that all the time. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, so for me, it's there's so many facets that go into it. There's your putting, your short game, your swing, your nutrition, your training. So everything from trainer to nutrition, to caddy, to swing coach, all that is part of your team, business team. I think I've had a good team, but I'm making some moves, and so I don't want to get too ahead or into like who, I'm making some moves for sure.
What were some of the highlights from the past year?
Finishing third at Waste Management was my best week. I invited like my 10 best friends from high school and got them a house like a mile from the course, and we had, so that was pretty epic. I finished third. And
was that any fun for them to attend?
Oh man, yeah. I would go over there for a little bit after the round, but I couldn't handle more than about 30 minutes with those guys. They definitely took advantage of that week and had a blast. I think we're going to do it again because it went so well. But yeah, they were about a mile from the course. They were there all week and just having a blast. It was fun to have them out there. Crazy crowds, and you could still pick them out.
I was going to ask, could you even see them amongst that crowd?
Sometimes you couldn't. You know, 16, you don't know where the hell they went, and then 17 too. But a lot of times, especially on the front nine, it was funny just having them 10 drinking beer, walking around, watching me play. It was pretty funny.
So you can have them as a traveling like circus around you? Is that
I should. I mean, it's my best week of the year, so it's pretty funny it worked out that way. But I think we're going to do it again this year, and I don't know. We'll see. But those guys all have jobs too. They can't just skip every week. But we had a blast.
Neil here. I'm first time, long time.
Yeah,
huh?
First time, long time.
Yeah.
But Ollie, you're a fellow Atlanta guy. What part of town are you from?
I live in Alpharetta now at Golf Club of Georgia.
Still live there?
Yeah.
You grew up there?
No, I grew up in Kennesaw. So I went to Harrison High School. Okay. And now I have a house at the Golf Club of Georgia where Georgia Tech played. That was our home course, about 30 minutes north of the city. And I bought the house right there on the course. And
I feel like you could put in a good word for your FedEx Cup team. You've got a lot of Georgia Tech guys that have struggled.
We're gonna get there, I've got some UGA guys, Seb Straka and
Joey Garber,
first team all lettuce. Well, first along with yourself.
Explain, those guys are awesome.
Yeah. Explain the FedEx Cup to him in case he doesn't know.
Basically, folks
in case he's somehow not familiar. Yeah.
Come off the web tour. Yeah. We did basically a draft, the five of us, and we're going to see how they do from a money list standpoint over the course of the year. And so my strategy, I picked Roberto Castro first and then picked Anders.
Albertson.
And
if you can't name your team,
so this is all Georgia guys.
He, yeah, for some reason, Atlanta. Is all Georgia.
That was not a requirement. That was,
I just wanted to do. Didn't really know.
Me and Anders went to school together for 4.5 years, so we'd had every class together, and so.
Well, tell him the merch starts pulling for him.
Well, he's doing good. He's off to a good start. He's a good player. That was a good pick. For
He
hasn't really been
responding
to your tweets, huh?
No, but Jimmy Hardkay has. Colorado School of Mines, so I kind of filter the engineering thing in there as well.
I think you ran out of Georgia guys eventually.
I did. Yeah. That was the issue. All right. So I got a couple speed round questions about Atlanta. Tech as well. Calvin Johnson or Demaryius Thomas?
Calvin Johnson.
Favorite Yellow Jacket basketball player of all time?
Oh, man. I don't know. When I was there, I liked watching Amon Shumpert play.
I did too. I grew up going to those games with Paul Hewitt.
Cool.
Javaris Crittenden, also a favorite of mine. Math or science?
Math.
Jeezy or T.I.?
T.I.
Who wins a championship first, Falcons, Hawks, or Braves?
Braves.
Favorite terminal in the Atlanta airport?
A.
Least favorite terminal?
T.
Why is A your favorite?
Chick-fil-A.
Why is T your least favorite?
No Chick-fil-A.
No Chick-fil-A. No good food, really. Good
There's answers. More than one Chick-fil-A in the Atlanta airport, right?
I got it. There's one at B too.
Okay. Is there A and B?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's the Jungle, which is my favorite of DJs.
And Randy's. Yeah.
The moving sidewalks, and it's like, have you been through that?
Yeah, that's wonderful. Experience.
Which one has the violin?
It's delightful, isn't it?
It's nice.
The one with the violin might have to be the best one. The lady that plays the fire violin.
I actually like the Zimbabwe artwork.
Yeah.
One.
For sure.
It's prehistoric.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Anyway,
moving on.
Favorite course in Atlanta?
That's tough. I get that a lot. I would say I always bounce between Peachtree, which I haven't got to play a lot, but Peachtree is really cool. And then I like Settin' Down Creek.
I do too.
I think that might be my favorite golf course, maybe even in the state. But I think Peachtree's got a really cool, unique Augusta-type feel as well. But Settin' Down Creek or Peachtree.
Okay. Play a lot of junior golf at Settin' Down. It's a great track.
Yeah.
Magic City or Cheetah Club?
No comment.
Good answer.
Yeah, it's a great answer.
And then last one. This is really personal. Who cut your hair?
Her name is Jill, and she's cut my hair since I was in middle school.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's Jill located?
Kennesaw.
In Kennesaw?
Yeah, she's off Barrett Parkway now.
Her own salon or more of a Supercuts vibe?
She's got her own salon now.
Okay. Yeah. So she's kind of come up through the ranks.
She's come
with
up
you.
Through the ranks for sure. And
is it because of all the business you're giving her?
When you talk about your team, I mean,
she's a huge part of my team, obviously. Yeah. You know, since day one, we've kind of had this flow rolling, and gotta owe her a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
Can you explain?
Awesome. She'll come to the house, though. I don't go there.
Okay. Oh,
really? House calls.
House calls.
Yeah, no, she's dialed. She gets it.
How often are you seeing her?
It's like a once a month at best. Maybe sometimes I'll go 6 weeks, 7 weeks. But
on the road, you ever have to do an emergency cut?
No, I have one time, and that was when I went for some serious flow. It was overwhelming. It got into my eyes, and I was at Sea Island, and yeah, this was last year, and I was gonna kind of like roll into the off season with just like crazy long hair and just like grow it all the way out, and then got in my eyes in the wind at Sea Island after the first round. I had to go do something about it, so I went to the spot Sea Island and got it trimmed up.
Can you explain? I know people ask you this all the time, but explain the no hat situation.
So yeah, I always hated seeing the bill when I played sports. Baseball was my sport I grew up with, and basketball I didn't have to wear a hat, obviously. But when I quit baseball, I was like, I'm never wearing a hat again, and it kind of just became my thing. I always hated seeing the bill, and then yeah, it kind of, you know, became my look and my feel. And when I turned pro, I wanted to kind of continue that, and Callaway was really supportive of that, so I just kind of kept it rolling.
You're gonna get like a Callaway, like a Rogue shaved into the side of your head. They haven't had made you do anything like that.
No, haven't had to go do with like the like
Bjorn Borg headband. Would be kind of.
I would totally. Would be kind of cool.
Could you do a bucket hat?
No, absolutely not.
Just for because of the look or because of the bill?
I can't do that look. That would not fit my style. Or a visor. I hate visors too.
Yeah, I was gonna say that doesn't address the issue really at all. No. Do you? You picked up a lot of accolades the last couple of years. One of them being first team all lettuce. Like, who else is on that team? Do you think?
Joey Garber, for sure.
Oh yeah, team Joey for sure.
Fleetwood
definitely.
Fleetwood's number one probably.
Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know.
I mean, you
guys
could
tell
say
me.
Bubba.
No doubt.
Bubba's got real flow.
He's got some flow.
Yeah.
It's not Phil.
Phil goes in and out. Snedeker's good.
Yeah.
That's got some nice flow.
P-Raj has got some flow going now.
He seems to be working very hard at
it. He's definitely, it's definitely not effortless.
It's effortless for you, though.
It's definitely not effortless.
Yes. You also, I mean, I don't know if the list has come out for this year, but first team all trage.
That's wonderful.
I think you might be the captain of that team. Who else is out there on first team all trage with you, do you think? I've only given away a few spots. I think Gary Woodland's got one.
Oh, I was going to say Gary. I was going to say Thomas Peters.
Okay.
Man, I got to think about that. But definitely those two guys come to mind quick from me playing with them. I've seen that's been impressive. Gosh, I'll have to think some more about it.
It kind of went a little bit viral when you hit the like 340-yard stinger off the 18th tee. Sedgefield?
Yeah.
I mean, is this a shot that you're known for? Is this something that you work on a lot? Explain the stinger shot.
I think, you know, I'm able to create some good speed, and that's a shot that I've always been comfortable with that I can kind of keep in play and get on the ground. At worst, it normally will just kind of get on the ground quick. And when fairways are rolling out, it goes as far as, you know, a high driver sometimes if it just runs forever. So it's kind of just been part of my game for a long time. Used it at the Open at St. Andrews a lot. Yeah, it's just kind of been something I've kind of just had that shot and used it a lot.
We were talking coming in. My associate Neil struggles with kind of a ballooning ball flight. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, a high fade.
What's the best tip you can give, at least on a podcast, of keeping the ball down and controlling that?
Obviously, have to have the ball position back, and then what a lot of people don't realize is I tee the ball up actually really high on that shot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll get a negative launch angle.
Yeah.
If you put it on TrackMan,
tee the ball up high.
So the first time I saw it, I'm still a little bit triggered by it. I couldn't believe it. Like I took like a zoomed in picture, like how high you teed up.
People definitely get sketched out when they,
yeah,
they wig out, but you got it. Sometimes you get a negative launch angle. If you tee it up too low, I mean, I've had times where I've hit the grass off the tee box. I was in second place at Riviera my rookie year. On 12, I overdid it, and I flushed it, and I nipped the grass right off the tee box and went 50 yards. And I was on second place on Sunday.
Was that a good feeling or no?
It was an awful feeling. But I made five, and it was okay. But I didn't want it to happen again, but it did happen again. And it was at Palm Springs. I hit one. not right off the tee box, but I hit the red tees. So there was like the tee, all the back tees were tight, and then like 40 yards off the box was the red tees that were sort of elevated, but really kind of at the same height as me. But I hit, I think I hit one of those negative launch angle ones, and it smokes the red tee box. And I was like, I would have to pull my pants down if I was playing, playing with my friends. Thank God this is a tour event and that's not acceptable. And I was able to lay that up and make par. So I'm one over on both of my hit the grass off the tee box shots. But,
so it's tee the ball up and then you try to catch it on a low groove.
Yeah. So I end up de-lofting it a lot. The ball back makes
what,
it even
what club
more
are we
de-lofted.
Talking about, by the way?
This I do with driver and three and two iron. Driver, so, I'll sometimes teed up really
like
high.
In the lab, this yeah. is useful intel.
But can yeah, we go out to the range? Can you teach him how to hit a stinger?
With that two iron at Wyndham, for sure, that was probably teed up a ball high almost and just, yeah, trapped and hit. Probably had a zero launch angle. It was probably sniffing the worms the first 20
said
feet.
Easy, right? Just a trap style.
The trap style.
But the spin ultimately is what gets it in the air.
Yeah.
But it's not a lot of spin, so it stays low. But you got to have a lot of speed to keep
how, it. How high are we talking about at its apex?
I think that one at Wyndham was a pretty typical one. I think it was, what, 40 feet or something?
Something like that.
Yeah.
That's wild, man.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So you have like a stinger driver shot and then like a launch driver shot?
Yeah.
Is it you tee them up yep. at different heights? Or
I kind of tee them up the same height, actually. Okay. I really don't tee my ball up lower to hit it low. But I know a lot of great players do. I know mm-hmm. like Justin Thomas, I've played with him. He hits an awesome bullet with his driver. He tees it up super low. Guys, even it's almost like off the deck hitting driver. And that's going to have a little bit more spin and kind of a lower – but they don't really kind of – they're not hitting negative launch angles with that, or it goes straight into the ground.
Do you – is there anyone in particular, any one person, one player, one skill that you look around and see, like, and even as a professional golfer, you are like, I have no idea how that guy does this. Is there anything that sticks out in your mind for that?
You know, Rahm is really impressive player to watch. You know, to have and Tony Finau, those guys, their swings are just so short and so powerful, and it's kind of incredible to watch how they generate that power with such a simple short swing and have that control as well. Those guys are obviously really impressive. Justin's really impressive. Jason Day is an unbelievable putter. Haven't got the chance to play a lot with him, but yeah, those guys stand out to me.
Have you seen Cameron Champ swing it yet?
I haven't got to play with him, but that is obviously mind-blowing. I played behind him at Sea Island, and, I mean, I stopped to watch him hit a tee shot when I was waiting on a par three.
It's very almost underwhelming in person. It doesn't look like he swings it hard.
It's incredible because
yeah.
it is so in control and smooth, and then it's a different noise, especially when he's hitting irons on the range. When we'll be on the range hitting iron, you know, he's warming up hitting an iron shot, and it is definitely a different noise. And I know, you know, people say that, oh, you can hear the sound, yeah. but definitely when he's hitting an iron shot, it's like watching him hit it, it looks so smooth, and it comes off with a different pop than anybody else.
Because he's the one that's been really swinging the Fred X Cup so
yeah,
far.
Yeah, look, we don't have to talk about, you know, who's leading, but Cameron's he's got my team off to a nice start.
Yeah.
But we were standing on the range at Sea Island, just watching him hit balls, and you'll be happy to know he topped one and hit it 50 yards with his driver. So wow. you're in good company.
I think he kind of does the same. He looks like he hits some extremely low balls.
Yeah,
he does.
And I don't think he's teeing those up that low.
He tees them lower. He has like – so I asked him about this because he has like a height that he tees his normal low control drive, which okay. he still hits like – It carries like 320 and it's very low. When he has somewhere, he says when he doesn't need to fit it in somewhere, he tees it up higher and tries to hit up on it. Uh-huh. And that's like his launch. So he tried to drive like the 400 yard, like fifth hole, and he drove it over it when he needed to. But I played with him that day and he was hitting it all. He topped one on the range and hit it all over the place for 18 holes. And I just remember telling the guys, like, all right, he is burnt out. Like, he's done for this week. Like, don't bet on him. And then he shot 65 and finished in the top five. Like, couldn't believe how fast he turned it on. It was ridiculous. Yeah. So.
Were you in the class of 2011? Mm-hmm. All right. So the names in that class are what? You, Spieth, JT, Patrick Rogers,
Xander.
So
Emiliano, Pan. Yeah, there's a lot.
So the most highly touted high school class in years. So you guys have been built up for a long time. I'm curious. All of you seem to have made the transition pretty well. So I'm curious what was your first year on tour like? I mean, were the guys better than expected? Were they as expected? Were they more relatable than expected? You know,
the older players.
Yeah.
I think what I've learned at every stage is I think, you know, we pretty much know what good golf is, but there's just a lot more of it out there.
Yeah.
I know when I've played well, I'm going to be right up there, but I know when I haven't played well, I'm not going to be up there. And out on tour, it's just amazing how many good players there are, and then how dialed in so many of these guys are in every aspect of their game and what they do. So you just can't have any weaknesses holding you back, because you look at the guys at the end of the week who are in the top 10 and they're gaining shots pretty much in every category. And I think there's just a lot more guys who are very professional about how they go about each part of their game. So, you know, I think I wasn't too surprised with what it took to compete and contend. And it takes a really special week. The few times that I've been able to contend, I've been in a good place with every part of the game. And when you're not hitting it good, you're not going to be able to compete. You don't have to hit it your best, of course, but you can't be having a two-way miss or have like,
right.
You can manage it and you can work your ass off to finish 50th place a lot, like I did this year. And it's tough. It's such a humbling game when you're giving it all you got and you're getting up and down, you're making putts and you're trying to manage it. But it's really tough because, you know, what you could have done in college, there's plenty of times where, you know, you play like that in college, you finish third place and you're like, all right, you know, it's not a big deal. Nothing,
right.
Nothing I need to concern myself with, but that would be 50th place on the PGA Tour.
Mm-hmm.
And 50th place is not going to get you anywhere
right.
on the PGA Tour. You got to be in those top 10. You got to get the big points up at the top. So I think I just kind of have learned how much better I have to get at each aspect and how you can't really afford to have any weaknesses.
Are you going to be putting with the pin in next year?
I will not be putting with the pin in next year.
You're not studying the coefficient of restitution of the flag sticks?
No, that's okay. I'll take the pin out. Maybe I'll tap one in with the pin in. I don't know. It'll be weird.
Hey, grow the game.
Yeah.
Are the new rules next year going to have much of an effect, do you think, at the pro golf level? Or are you schooled on them yet? Or
I haven't been schooled on them. I know that we all have to. I want to say it's at in Hawaii or some time before the year starts, we're going to have, I think there's a meeting or some sort of something sent to us where we can study up on it. Cause I haven't been schooled on all of them yet. So I've only heard a little bit, you know, drop from the knee and you can putt with the pin in, but I don't really know all of them yet.
What's a player meeting like on tour? Cause I picture it like, is it like a high school assembly?
Yeah.
Is it like, how would you describe what that scene is like? Because there's what, three of them a year?
Yeah,
or something?
It kind of does feel like you're back in school. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, you're just all the guys from who are at the tournament and just kind of all in a ballroom or something and listening to somebody. It feels exactly like.
Are there guys? You know,
they got the golf boys over here.
Yeah, you don't have to name names unless you would like to. But do guys kind of strong arm the meetings? Are there some loud voices in there that like to take over and kind of push
you do
things
have
around?
Name names actually. No.
I think there's probably a couple that do that. But
yeah.
And there's guys on the pack, the player advisory,
right.
who are involved in some decision making. So those guys might stand up and say something and give the people running it want the player's opinion. So mm-hmm. there's a handful of guys that will step up and, you know, have that conversation and play that role. But yeah, it feels like a school, like you're back in school a little bit.
Did you watch the match?
I did. I watched the whole match.
What'd you think?
I thought it was awkward a little bit. I still enjoyed watching the whole thing, and it was the first of its kind, and I don't think you could have two better guys handle that situation better, but it was difficult, I think, for them to, obviously you have millions of people watching, the first of its kind, you don't really know what to expect, and you're expected to be normal, but of course that's not a normal Tuesday practice round. Conversations they're having, you know, they're walking down the first tee, the first hole, trying to have a normal conversation with all these cameras on you and everyone's watching to see what the communication's like. And I thought Tiger on the first hole with the good speed was probably the best drop of the entire day. That got me. I was laughing at that. But after that, you know, it was just, I thought they did the best they could, but it was a difficult kind of job for them to try to awkwardly kind of come up with bets and like, supposed to be talking shit and like, how are they going to do that with in that situation? It's just like kind of awkward, but still worth watching. I don't know, see if they do something like that again, if it'll be different or better, but I thought when I really looked back at it, I actually thought it was pretty epic, because when you think about it, Tiger chips in on 17, which is extremely special. The match would have been, could have easily been over if he didn't. And then they both hit two special shots on the last hole and make birdie. Tiger flushes a six-footer right in the heart and picks up Phil's coin. Thought that was pretty sick. I wonder if people who don't typically watch golf, who watched that, were not, you know, shocked at that. You know, he has a six-footer for $9 million, knocks it right in the heart like it's nothing and picks up the coin. I just thought that was a swag move. And I think people watching were probably like, wow, there's definitely nothing else like that in sports. And then Phil gives him a six-footer to keep it going because he doesn't want to lose on a bogey, and then hits it to 3 feet on the next shot. And I think when you look at it like that, I thought it was, you know, they say it wasn't the best golf that day, but you still had some incredible moments from two of the legends of the game at the end to make it pretty much an epic showdown, in my opinion. Even though it wasn't their best golf at the end, you had some pretty cool moments.
One of the things that was kind of hard to balance was like, I don't know how much $9 million means to either of those guys. For perspective, what would $9 million, like winning that match, would you be super nervous putting out like on that 18th green compared to like what it would be like at a PGA Tour event?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it would just feel so different. But $9 million to me obviously is extreme compared to them, I think.
Have you gotten to a point where you're not thinking about money during tournaments?
No, I still think about it. Right. I can't help it. I think when you've got a 10-footer and you know like it's for probably $100,000 or something, that you can't help but thinking about it. But I don't think it affects too much how I go about it. And I've got enough experience. I feel very confident to handle that. But it definitely crosses your mind, you know, when you're in contention on Sunday. I don't think it does ever Thursday through Saturday, but Sunday is a different animal when you're in the mix.
Is there a shot that, not to bring up something negative, but is there a shot that sticks out to you that's like, oh, that shot cost me blah, 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 this amount of money? Is there one that sticks out to you?
Yeah, there's probably a few. Yeah. Definitely when I first turned pro, and I'm playing at Tiger's tournament at Quicken Loans, and I was in contention on Sunday, and I was in third place on 15 on Sunday. You know, I just turned pro, so I'm just making my first checks. And to me, I'm still a college kid. You know, just a couple months ago, I was making sure to go to Moe's on Mondays to save a dollar on a burrito. And I'm over on 15 in third place looking at the scoreboard, and I've got an 8-iron into this par 5 and 2 after a huge drive. I can make eagle and really make a push birdie one of the last few and have a chance to get in a playoff or win or something. And I kind of chunk hook it, doesn't carry the water, make a 6. And I think I par the last 3 holes, and I just think back at that and I'm like, man, if I just hit the green and 2-putt there, I finish 5th instead of 12th, which would have been, you know, $200,000 or something. I still made 6 figures that week, and it was amazing. I wasn't too upset about it, but I was like, damn, that was a $200,000 8-iron whiff. So that one always sticks out because it was early on. And then I obviously didn't get to collect my $250 I would have made at the British Open as an amateur. So I thought about.
Did that just, what was that week like? Were you thinking about that the whole time?
No, I wasn't thinking about that. I knew obviously I wasn't going to make any money from that tournament, but I felt like I improved my stock, and I probably made some money indirectly from playing well that week.
Yeah.
But that was amazing looking at the leaderboard on back nine on Sunday, right up there at St. Andrews.
Yeah, well, that was a few of you guys were up there.
Yeah.
Paul Dunn, right? And
yeah.
Jordan
Niebrugge.
Yeah.
What was that week at the old course like?
It was really cool. I actually got to play 18-hole practice round with Phil and Bones on Monday. Uh-huh. I was in the Callaway truck. I had just signed with Callaway, and I'm in there with Chip, the CEO of Callaway, and I'm in the truck, and Phil comes in. I'm having a meeting with Chip. You know, it's really exciting for me. I just about to turn pro. I'm getting to, you know, meet the CEO and be in the tour truck at a major. So it was incredible. And Phil walks in and says, hey, and then he goes back out to the range, and Chip says, hey, why don't you go ask Phil to play with you? See if you can go get out on the old course with him. And I end up going to the range. He's hitting balls. I say, hey, Phil, what do you think? Is there, you know, are you going to play today? What do you think about me joining you? I'd love the chance. And he said, yeah, we're going to go in 30 minutes. You want to come? And I was like, yeah. I'll see you on the tee.
Are you nervous to talk to him in a moment like that?
No, been pretty comfortable with people for the most part. But, a little bit, but I'm pretty comfortable. And then Hunter Mahan joined us too. So that was really neat. And we played 18 holes. It wasn't just nine holes. We played 18 holes, and they had some really funny stories and, like, talked and had a blast all day. And he helped me a lot kind of thinking of my way through the course at St. Andrews, and it was an amazing experience that helped me out a lot. I think
I love how you phrased it. I got to play with Phil and Bones, not just with Phil, with Phil and Bones. Yeah.
Well, and another member of DJ's FedEx Cup team,
Hunter Mahan. Yeah, that's right.
Mahan got the nod.
He did. I think I feel like he was a good value pick in the fourth round as well.
It's good to see him coming back.
He's gonna click, man. Yeah. It's gonna happen.
I was talking a little trash. I was calling him Cougar during our draft. I think he lost the edge.
From Top Gun.
Cougar was number one. Cougar lost the edge. Turns out he's already had a couple good starts.
Yeah, look, I think he's just fine.
Yeah.
I think he's taking your criticism as a bit of motivation.
Ollie, do you have any questions for us?
No.
Last word here.
No, I don't have any questions.
I think it's all pretty self-explanatory. Yeah.
No, I just really want to get out of here. Yeah.
What's your schedule like coming up?
I'm going to play the first four to start the year. I've kind of done the same thing the last 2 years on the West Coast swing, and I have had some pretty good success. So I'm going to play the first four, skip Pebble, and play Riviera to start the year.
What's a course that really, like, gets you excited to play? That fits your game.
I
really
think
well.
Torrey Pines. Yeah. It's a great course for me. It's you can hit driver all day and take advantage of distance, and I think it just suits my eye. It's one of those courses that suits my eye. I feel like I can go low on. Sometimes you play tournaments and you feel like it's not as hard. You know, the course isn't that hard compared to the scores. In other weeks, you're like, man, 70, I felt like that was good, and you're like, that was nothing. Right. Torrey's one of those courses where I feel like I might not even play that well, but I'm like right in the mix. Mm-hmm.
Have you tried out the, we can't say the name of it yet, but the 2019 Callaway equipment yet? Have you tested any of that?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I posted on Instagram some results. I had it with the new driver I checked out a few weeks ago, and picked up 5 miles an hour ball speed. Jeez. Which is insane.
can you put that into perspective for like
that's a, like a pitcher.
Person?
Okay, so you watch the MLB, and I think when a pitcher gains 1 mile an hour, say your top speed's 90, you throw a 92-mile-an-hour fastball, and then you see 94 on the radar, that's just – you never hit that.
Yeah.
That's just like a complete, you know, game changer. This is like going from 92 to 95 or 96.
What was the ball speed?
Because I normally am right around 183, 184 would be like I'm really pumping it right now, and I hit 189.
Huh.
And it was – I've never seen that. At that, the only time I've seen anything close to that is when it's really hot out and I'm really warmed up, and middle of the season I might get close to that. But this was with – I was wearing a sweater at 10 a.m. in Atlanta with 60 degrees out. And I was hitting it 183 with my driver, was maxing it out, and I hit 189 with this one once. Oh. And it was just
something I camp champs like 195 for perspective.
Which is ridiculous, yeah.
Wow. All right. That's something to be excited about.
Yeah.
Well, I'll let you get back to the carousel here at the ad shoot, but thanks for popping in, and we're happy to have you.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Be the right club. Be the right club today.
Yes! Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
Expect anything.